WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Ever since Sigmund Freud's theories about the human psyche were first published, social scientists and critics have had scores of theories of their own about Freud's life and work. Critic Maureen Corrigan has a review of a new book about Freud and one of his patients, which examines how the outside world affected their inner one.
There's a musical that's running now in Vienna that I'm dying to see if it ever makes it to Broadway. It's called Freudiana, a musical about psychoanalysis. Freud's famous patients, like the Rat Man and the Wolf Man, suddenly break into song, and his collection of Greek figurines mutate into a giant chorus line. The score features neurotic numbers like Let Yourself Go, Beyond the Pleasure Principle, and Funny You Should Say That. Whoever the writers of Freudiana are, they have a few loose noodles in their strudels. Still, I'd be curious to see how they portray Dora. She was the 18-year-old woman who came to Freud in 1900, suffering from hysteria. She suddenly left his treatment 11 weeks later. The case haunted Freud. It was his first significant failure, and it's become the subject of almost violent debate. Early supporters of Freud saw Dora as just another manipulative female, using her sickness to get attention. More recently, feminist critics have championed Dora as a victim of Freud's misogyny. Certainly, Freud's technique seemed almost brutal. He interrogated Dora mercilessly about her sexual fantasies. Janet Malcolm compares the case to an account of an operation being performed on a fully awake patient. Now, a book by historian Hannah Decker entitled Freud, Dora, and Vienna, 1900, sheds more light on the case by examining the world that existed outside Freud's consulting room. Decker's discussion is refreshing because, unlike a lot of other feminist scholars, she doesn't blame Freud for not transcending the sexist attitudes of his time. Instead, Decker starts out from the Freudian premise that society makes us sick, and she investigates how their society harmed both Dora and Freud. Decker says that for a Jewish woman like Dora, it's hard to tell whether anti-Semitism or misogyny was more ruinous. Vienna in the late 19th century was a city where Jews were still arrested under suspicion of murdering Christian children in religious rituals. If bigotry wasn't enough to warp Dora's self-image, consider her society's patronizing attitude toward women. Hysteria was common. Decker suggests that women fainted and lost their voices because they were taking to extremes the passive female ideal of their time. Freud actually treated Dora gently compared to other physicians who applied hot irons to the spines of their hysterical patients. But Decker points out that the Freud who saw Dora had a few problems of his own. His marriage had cooled off, and he was passed over for academic promotion because he was a Jew. Freud badly mishandled Dora's case, in part because the anti-Semitism and sexism of 19th century Vienna damaged him too. He concluded, for instance, that Dora was abnormal because she didn't enjoy the sexual advances of a family friend. Decker suggests that Freud identified with this friend and that he was unconsciously aroused by Dora. Decker's book is part sociology, part posthumous analysis of Freud and Dora. It also contributes to current arguments about the infallibility of psychoanalysis by reminding us that even Freud was a victim of his historical circumstances.
Maureen Corrigan teaches at Georgetown University. She reviewed Freud, Dora, and Vienna, 1900, by Hannah S. Decker.